Okay, good morning to everyone on this another day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am glad to see each one of you on this May 2nd in the year 2021, the year of our Lord. We thank God for this day. God is good, and he woke us up this morning, started us on our way, clothed and in our right minds. And for that, we give him thanks. We thank God for Jesus, his son, our Savior, and we thank God as well for his Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us, and also we thank God for his word, and I thank God for you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need you, we need one another, and I continually ask you to remember me in prayer as I remember you in prayer as well. I have been thinking about you all week, preparing for you, praying for you, and I'm glad that we're here today. As you know, this hour is one of the fastest hours, at least for me, one of the fastest hours in the week as we study together from the Word of God. If we have any new persons with us this morning, we greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. We gather in his name. My name is Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I am the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class, and we welcome you. I encourage each one of you to continue to invite others to class as the Lord leads you. Anyone who has a desire to study the Word of God is invited to join this class. Today, we will be continuing in our study of Luke. We are currently in Luke chapter 12. The passage that we will be looking at today is found in verses 13 through 21. So Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And most of you know I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father, we come before you, offering unto you praise on this another day. We thank you, Lord, for a mind to serve you. We thank you, Lord God, that you called us unto yourself. And we offer unto you praise. We will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. We say, worthy art thou, Lord God, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. We thank you, Lord, and praise you. You are the creator of this world. And then, Lord God, you created us. You created man. And out of all humanity, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you that you created me. You created my sisters. You could have made this whole world and not created a Velma and not created a Karen and not created a Carolyn or a Wendell. But you chose to create us, Lord, and we just offer unto you, and we want to render unto you your due. And now we ask you to forgive us of our sins and shortcomings, Lord. Strengthen us where we're weak. Build us up where we're torn down. We ask you to give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is still saying to the church, even this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, good morning to everyone once again. As we continue in our study from Luke chapter 12. For those of you who are in the Revelation class, some of you have homework to turn in, so don't forget your homework. You still have today and really up till tomorrow before class time. So I encourage you to do that. There have been some questions on how to return it. You can return it, scan it, send it to me on an email. You can even take a picture of it and get it to me. Or if you can mail it as well. Or you can let me know, Sister Velma, I did my homework. I just need to get it to you. Okay, we're going to continue on in our study of Luke chapter 12. That's the word for today. Now, on last week, I want to say this, by the way. I had an aside on last week, a by the way. And I mentioned five reasons for death or causes of death. But immediately after class, the Lord brought to me another cause of death. So if you're taking notes on your list, reasons for death and causes of death, Of course, there's natural death. And we know all death is a result of sin. We all die as a result of Adam's sin in the garden. And all humanity fell because of Adam, our forefather's sin. So that's the umbrella reason for sin. The wages of sin is death. But then there are natural causes for sin. It's just your time to die, a natural cause. There's also accidents. I mentioned that on last week. Many die because of accidents. And also there are various penalties. And I especially think of electrocutions and things like that. So penalties are a cause of death. Also, there's sickness and disease. And many die for all these reasons. Sickness and disease is a cause of death. And also there's murder, of course. Is a cause for death, and underneath murder would be martyrdom. But martyrdom are people who are killed for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the Lord brought to me another cause for death is in combat or in war. People are killed in combat or, you could say, in war. So you want to add that to your list. Another cause for death is combat or war. Now this morning, as we continue in Luke chapter 12, let's back up for just a moment. We know that Jesus, this day that we're currently in scripture, it's a busy day for Jesus and a busy day for the disciples, but primarily for Jesus. This day started back in Luke chapter 11. Now we're in Luke chapter 12. And when we get to Luke chapter 12, we see Jesus has a lot to say. Most of chapter 12 is in red letter. And when you get to 13, all the way through verse 9, Jesus is giving instruction to his disciples. Well, we might ask, why is Jesus giving instruction to his disciples? Well, one reason, that's what a disciple is. A disciple is a student. A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a follower. And so someone who is the Lord Jesus, in this case, he is the master. He is the teacher. He is Lord. And the disciples are learning from him, following him. Jesus has much to say as their teacher, and he has much to say as their master and their Lord. We have seen in Luke chapter 12 many instructions. First of all, we have been told in verses one through three, not to be a hypocrite. That was the subtopic I gave it. The topic being instructions for disciples. Number one, don't be a hypocrite. That's in verses 1 through 3. And then in verses 4 through 6 is God, fear God more than man. But I really want to say, let's say for verse 4 and 5, let's make that fear God more than man, verses 4 and 5. But when you get to verse 6 and 7, that's talking about God's care for us. God cares for his own. All right. So God cares for his own in verses 6 and 7. And then we saw in verses 8 through 10, we are not to be ashamed of Jesus, even though it might cost martyrdom, or you may have to be killed for your faith, which most of us don't know about here in America. But there are many parts of the world where Christians are persecuted. They are in prison doing just what we're doing this morning. They cannot meet publicly in a Sunday school class. If they were to meet publicly, many would be killed. Many would be in prison or persecuted. So we are blessed to be here in America where we can publicly come together in the name of Jesus. But don't fool yourself. There are many today that will be killed for their faith. But in spite of that, Jesus says in verses 8 through 10 to not to be ashamed of him, even if it costs physical life. And that's why he had to tell them in verses 4 and 5, do not fear those who kill the body, but rather fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell, because he was preparing them for persecution, for suffering, and to be killed. Now, when we ran out of time on last week, we went to the book of Acts. And the book of Acts happens immediately, I'm gonna put that in quotes, after Jesus ascends back to heaven. And he tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power by the Holy Spirit. That's what we call the day of Pentecost. And so after that, they went forth, the disciples, in Jesus' name. But when you read the book of Acts, you will notice how much persecution is all throughout Acts. One reason that there is not as much persecution here, where we live in here in America, one reason, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But another reason that there's less persecution is because the real truth, the whole truth, the total truth of the gospel is not really being proclaimed. The entire word of God is not really being proclaimed from the housetops. The Bible still says the wages of sin is death. God still commands what man should do and what man should not do. And sometimes we as Christians here, especially here in America, but it's happening all over, but especially here, there has been a watering down of the truth of God. Hence, there's less persecution. But if you really stand up for the truth and say what God said, you will suffer persecution. Well, today, we also saw in verses 11 and 12 instruction that we are to rely on the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who will help us to not be a hypocrite. It is the Holy Spirit who will help us to fear God more than man. It is the Holy Spirit who will help us to not worry about somebody not liking you or somebody giving you a dirty look. You know, that's about the most persecution we have. But the Holy Spirit helps us not to worry about that. And then that's real. That can be real persecution. Persecution is more subtle here in America. It's not overt and obvious. It's not really being a bullet put to your head because of your faith. Persecution here in America is subtle, and it's more of an undercurrent, but there is still persecution. And so we rely on the Holy Spirit to keep on saying what thus saith the Lord. We rely on the Holy Spirit to keep on confessing Jesus. Even when someone says you cannot pray in the name of Jesus, we still pray publicly. If we're asked to pray publicly, pray in the name of Jesus. Well, today we're going to continue in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. And we're going to see in this passage, in verses 13 through 15, beware of covetousness. And if I had to put a subject on today's lesson, it would be on greed and covetousness, being greedy and wanting more, more, more. So verses 13 through 15 is a warning to beware of covetous. Everyone, please make sure you're on mute because I'm hearing some things. Okay, beware of covetousness. That's in verses 13 through 15. And then it goes on in 16 through 21, telling us to be rich towards God. Then we'll see in verse 22 through 30, to not to worry. Verse 31, seek first the kingdom. So that's an overview and a review. But now let's look at our passage. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. I will read, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Now, before I read here, Jesus gives, he's given all these instructions to his disciples. Why is that? Because he's preparing them. We know Jesus is on his way to Calvary. Jesus is on his way to sufferings and rejection and crucifixion to be killed. He is on his way to being killed, crucified. And so he must prepare his disciples for his crucifixion and for his departure. He will not be with them always. And so he's preparing them, okay? So that's one reason for the instruction. Then he's preparing his disciples to carry on. After he leaves, someone must carry on in his name, doing his work, going about proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. So he's preparing them to carry on in his name. And then he gives instruction to prepare them for their own suffering. The disciples will suffer too and be killed. All of the disciples, there were 12 disciples, those foundational disciples, there were 12 of them. We know that Judas betrayed the Lord, so he was not a true disciple. Someone's not on mute. Let me see if I can mute everyone here. Joan Newbel, you need to be muted. So please mute yourself. Okay, thank you. And anyone else that needs to. All the disciples, there were 12 disciples. We know one betrayed the Lord. He was not a true follower of Jesus. That's Judas Iscariot. The other 11 disciples, all of them were martyred. All of them were killed because of their faith, except for John, the Apostle John, who wrote the Revelation, the John who was placed in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And so Jesus must prepare his disciples for their own suffering. That's why he tells them, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, because he knew they were going to be killed. And so he must prepare them for their own suffering, persecution, and their own death. Now here in Luke chapter 12, verse 13, I'm going to read. Then, you know, the story goes on. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Now, another topic I can give, you know, I like to give my own outlines and topics. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 21. So another topic we are going to see this morning is two men. We're going to be talking about two men. Well, the first man is the one in verse 13. Both of these men are unnamed. We don't know their names. Jesus didn't tell us. But the first man is in verse 13. And the next man is in verse 16. So we have two men. Both of these men are concerned about more. Money, money, money. Things. Acquiring earthly wealth. That's what this passage is about. And so the illustration is going to be from two men. Well, this first man in verse 13, he's one from the crowd. And we know there was this innumerable crowd that was in verse 1. It was so many people gathered together that they trampled one another. And we saw that happen on the news on last week. That actually happened last week. But this here in chapter 12, verse 1, there's this big group of people. Well, one from the crowd says to Jesus, "Teacher," verse 13, "tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, if you've been in tune with what Jesus has been talking about, you would say this man comes out of left field. This man is on a whole nother wavelength. Jesus is talking about what? Suffering. Jesus is talking about what? People killing your body. Jesus is preparing them for persecution. Jesus is talking about don't be a hypocrite. Jesus is talking about confess my name. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not talking about anything earthly. And here comes this man out of the blue. And he says, teacher, and it's like he couldn't wait for a chance to step in and say what was on his mind. I don't believe this man heard a word of what Jesus was talking about. It appears that his mind was not in tune with Jesus. It's obvious from what he said. In verse 13, this man is thinking about money. He says, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, Jesus didn't have anything to do. He wasn't talking about money. Now, he's getting ready to talk about money, but he had not been talking about an inheritance. So first lesson we learn about this man, he was not listening to the word of God. He was not listening to Jesus. His mind was on something else. You know, sometimes you can be talking to people or they could be talking to you, and your mind is somewhere else. You're not even listening to them. That's not true of any of you this morning. I just know all of you are listening to Sister Velma, because Sister Velma is teaching by God's grace the word of the Lord. But you know what I'm saying, how somebody can be talking and your mind is on something else. And that's what's happening here with this man, his mind. And it just as soon as Jesus, just as soon as this man could get an entrance, he was ready to talk about what he wanted to talk about. And what he wanted to talk about was his brother dividing the inheritance with me. But Jesus comes back with a response. And notice Jesus. Jesus is always on it, on it, on it. You know, the enemy comes with many distractions. He's seeking to get us off base. And this could be another attack from the wicked one through a man seeking to get Jesus distracted. Distracted by a family issue, distracted by this man who is trying to tell Jesus what to do. Notice this man says, tell my brother. Well, we don't tell Jesus anything. You know, now I just thought of this song, tell him all about your troubles. You know, that's a good song. I believe in that. Tell him all about your troubles. I can't quite think of all the lyrics right now. But call him up and tell him what you want. Well, we tell Jesus what we want, but we don't really tell him. We make our requests known. We come before him humbly and we petition and we ask for what we want, but we humbly bow to the will of God, even when it causes tears. And sometimes God's will is not what we will, but God's will is always the best. He knows what's best for us. Well, this man tries to tell Jesus what to do. Tell my brother. He didn't say, would you please? He simply says, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus comes back with his response, and he says to the man, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? In other words, Jesus wasn't going to get involved with that. He did not come to see about this man's issue with his brother. Now, that does not mean the Lord cares about us. He cares about mankind. He cares about everything that has to do with his children. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon Jesus. And we do. I know how to tell everything to Jesus. I know how to pray to the Lord in prayer and make my requests known and talk to the Lord about it. But I still humbly bow to him in prayer. Well, this man talking about money and his brother. And Jesus says, I didn't come to be your judge or an arbitrator over you. Jesus came primarily for spiritual reasons, to cause men to come to God. He came to bridge the gap between man and God. He came to proclaim the kingdom of God. He came to push back darkness. He came to overcome the wicked one. That's why Jesus came. But he still cares about our family. He cares about everything that concerns us. But first of all, the Lord is concerned about our spiritual being. He's concerned about what matters eternally. And so Jesus, not distracted, he responds to the man and he says, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Jesus didn't miss a beat and he went on doing, instructing his disciples. But he takes the opportunity now to turn what just happened with this man, to turn it into a teaching opportunity. He says in Luke 12, verse 15, he said to them, who's the them? Well, the them would be the disciples, first of all, and perhaps some of those in the crowd. So Jesus said to them, take heed and beware. Now, he's talking to us today. We are his disciples. Take heed, be careful, beware. What he told us in verse 1, he had said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. He's telling his disciples, he's telling us, be real, be sincere. Don't be a hypocrite. Pray and ask the Lord to give you a pure heart, create in me a clean heart. But then Jesus says, there's another danger, something you need to be aware of. And I would say, especially us here in America, we, all of us here in the classroom, all of us are rich compared to many people in this world. And we live in a culture that all day long is coming to us from all different ways. Buy this, buy that. You need a new this. You need a new that. More, 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 more. That's the culture we live in. And even as Christians, we hear all the time, give to God and he'll give back to you. Well, that is a scripture. That is a scripture. But that's not the primary reason we give to God. We give to God out of heart of gratitude. We give to God out of heart of thanksgiving. We give to God if he never gives back to us anything. We owe him everything. And so as Christians, because this has seeped into the church, is covetousness. More, more, more. And a lot of songs are about bless me, bless me, bless me. Well, I want to be blessed. I'll raise my hand. Yes, I want to be blessed. But the blessings are in Jesus. It's a lot of covetousness in the church. More, more, more. But it hides upon spiritual language. It hides upon religious terminology. But there's all these bless me, bless me, bless me's, and it comes in many forms. It could be covetousness. Instead of being content with what we have. And God, he'll bless us. He's not trying to hold back from us. As a matter of fact, in verse 32, it says, let me read 31. Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. We don't seek the things, we seek God. Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Things, he'll give us things. All these things, he'll add some things, shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so we don't have to seek blessings, blessings, blessings. We seek God. And if you listen and Lord, give us an ear to hear, you can see how that has seeped into the church. It's bless me, bless me, bless me spirit. And it is, it fits up under this warning in verse 15. Take heed, beware of covetousness. Well, what is that? It's a lust. It's a desire for more. It is a greed. It is not being satisfied and content with what you have. Knowing that Jesus, he's the greatest blessing. In Jesus, I have everything that I need. I'm complete in him. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want the Lord to bless me. I do. I want him to bless me. But we don't seek the blessings. We seek him. And so in verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. people of God. And then he has to let us know our lives, one's life, does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And so that's all in the church too, is this wanting more. But our life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then, verse 16, here comes our second man on the scene. Then he spoke a parable to them. Now, we know what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story about a spiritual truth. So Jesus is going to tell this story, but it has spiritual meaning in it, all right? A parable. And so Jesus tells this parable, verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he," that's your equal sign, "so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." That's the parable. Now let's look, you know, the Bible outlines itself all throughout the Bible. When you look at verse 15, and we're going to see bookends, there's like bookends here. Verse 15 says, "Beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then we go to verse 21, and 21 says, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Then you go down to verse 31. And 31 says, "Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." You all notice the things? Because in verse 15, there's the abundance of the things. In verse 21, it lays up treasure. Verse 31 says, "all these things." And then verse 34 is that bookend, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, in the remainder of our time, let's look at this parable. The first man, he was concerned about money and his inheritance, not thinking about or listening to Jesus. This second man, now this is called the parable of the rich fool. Now, that's what my Bible calls it. And if you have a Bible with subtopics in it, it'll have that too. Parable of the rich fool. Well, why did it call the man a fool? Well, he's called the parable of the rich fool because in verse 20, God said to him, "Fool." God called this man a fool. So the question would be, why is this man a fool? Now you need to ask yourself the question, are you a fool? Am I a fool? Do you want to be a fool? Anybody here want to be a fool? I would say none of us want to be a fool. And so we need to listen to this parable so we don't become those fools. And I'm not saying you all are fools. I'm not saying I'm a fool. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to teach the lesson here. And so the mirror here, the Bible here, a mirror, it will show us ourselves. If you're seeking for riches, 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 things, bless me, bless me, bless me, then you're in the wrong camp. If it's always more, even if it comes under religious terminology, that's covetousness. And it's full. The church is full of it, covetousness. So now let's look at this verse 16. Why is this man a fool? So 16 says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. So we find out there's two words that are descriptive of this man. He was rich. He was rich. Well, that's not wicked in and of itself. That's not a bad thing. That's not a wicked thing. The man was rich. Well, how did he get rich? Well, his crops yielded plentifully. So we could see this, you know, the man could have been a good man. There's nothing in this passage that says the man was wicked. It didn't say the man stole his money. It didn't say the man filed 16 lawsuits. It didn't say the man filed bankruptcy and then sued people, and that's how he got rich. It didn't say the man inherited his riches. It just lets us know God had blessed this man. The crops that this man had, God blessed the man. So God blesses people to be rich. He was blessed. That's not evil in and of itself. That does not mean you're a fool because you're rich. There are many rich people in the Bible who love the Lord, many being a relative word. Abraham, rich man. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those three patriarchs, they were rich people. Job was rich. We know Job was a rich man. Solomon, the richest man that ever lived or ever will live. The Bible lets us know Solomon, rich, rich man. And all of those men, servants of God, not perfect men, but they were servants of the Lord, rich men. So when we see this man here in verse 16, he was a rich man. That's okay. You know, praise the Lord. He was rich. Well, why does God call him a fool? Well, we'll see in verse 17, because 17 says the man, he thought within himself. Now, you know, we be thinking in ourselves all day too. We be thinking all kinds of thoughts within ourselves. That's not wrong in and of itself either. But now we see what he's thinking about. You know, this is what he's thinking about within himself. He says, what shall I do? Now, I wanted you to notice the words I. It's all I, and my. My, I. Notice the how many times that shows up. He says, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? That's his question on the table. What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? All right. Now, if you stopped right there, it could be okay, depending on his answer. But then we go on to see, since he's talking to himself, he asked himself the question. Now he's going to come back with his own answer. And that's one reason he's a fool, because he didn't seek counsel. He didn't seek outward counsel. Everything was within himself. What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said he's going to give his own answer. He didn't go to no one to ask them anything. Including God. So he said, I will do this. Now, you all know that that makes you a fool, too, is when you say, I will do anything. It's all but by the grace of God, we'll do whatever. So he says, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. All right. So that's the question the man had for himself. And we're going to see the man's answer. And I think you can see why this man, the Lord would call him a fool. This was a blessed man. We saw that in verse 16. God had blessed him. His land brought forth plentifully. This man, though, when he gives the question and his own answer, he represents anyone who lives as if there's no God. He lives as if there is no God. This man lives totally for himself. It's all about my, and me. This man has no thought for others. You don't hear him say anything about other people. This man is all for self. And so he represents a man, first of all, that says by his actions, there is no God. That's his actions. Now, if you were to ask him, he probably would say, yeah, I believe in God. He probably would say that with his mouth, but his actions show otherwise. So he's a fool, first of all, because he lives as if there is no God. Amen. And then this man, he represents the fool because he takes no thought of God. He doesn't give God thanks. He doesn't say, thank you, Lord. You have blessed me. You have given me all these crops. Lord God, I thank you. It is you who caused the rain to fall. It is you who caused the rain to stop. It is you who gave the seed. It is you who blessed the land. Lord, I thank you. The man did not give thanks to God. So he was an ungrateful man, and he was unthankful. This man did not give no offering. He didn't give an offering to God. He didn't give a tenth. You're talking about a tenth. He didn't give a penny. He didn't give anything back to God. It was all for him. It was all for self. This man had no thought of God. It's me, myself, and I. And so this man, who is his God? Himself. He is his own God. He has made himself his God. All right. He serves himself. He seeks counsel from himself. He gives himself his own answers. He doesn't go to the word of God. That's what we're doing, seeking God's counsel. You know, a wise man seeks God's counsel. There's a scripture, Proverbs, that tells us the beginning of wisdom, it's one of them, is the fear of the Lord. And so we seek God's wisdom. That's why we're in class this morning, because we want to hear, God, what's your mind on this? Tell me, Lord, what would you have me to do? But this man, no, he's his own God. Therefore, he doesn't go to anyone else. This man doesn't care about other people. He doesn't say, you know, there's many rich people in the world today. Many, again, being a relative word. But there are a lot of rich people. And sometimes you'll hear, well, Bill Gates, he gave so many millions to such and such a charity. Well, that you can give a lot and not be a Christian. And I'm not saying he is or isn't. I don't know that. But we do know he knows how to give away some money. That's a good thing, to help somebody. He gives money. I just heard the other day, Tyler Perry, and there are many others, and some we never even hear about, probably most of them. They give out of their riches. They have been blessed to have an abundance, and they give. This man, did he say anything about, well, let me go see if Sister So-and-so needs some help. Let me see if I can contribute to Salvation Army or somebody. No, it was all me, my. So this man is covetous and he's greedy. This is a greedy, materialistic man. All he cares about, verse 17, what shall I do since I have no room? I mean, he's bursting at the seams. The barn is full. It's full to the hilt. There is no room for him to get another kernel of corn in the barn. No room to store my crops. So he said, this is what I'll do. I'm going to pull down my barns and I'm going to build greater barns. So what that lets you know, more. I want greater. I'm going to build me a bigger barn so I can have more. And so he's covetous and he's greedy and he's materialistic. Amen. And so verse 18, I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I'm going to build greater and there I will store, not I'm going to give away something. And matter of fact, he doesn't say anything about his family here. We don't hear anything about a wife. We don't hear anything about children. We don't hear about cousins. We don't hear anything about anybody, including God, from this man or charities or even his family. He is concerned only about my. And so he says, I'll pull down my barns and I will build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. So he's working on his what? Retirement plan. This man got his life all planned out. For many years, he says, that's what he says in 19, I will say to my soul, you know, after he thinks he's going to build all this bigger barn and stuff, I will say to my soul, now he's talking to his soul, you have many goods. You have many goods laid up for many years. That's his retirement plan. This man, and it's good to have a retirement plan. God, I thank God I'm retired. I am retired and loving it, but I'm busier than ever. But this man had a retirement plan. Nothing wrong with that. The problem is he didn't plan after retirement. He didn't plan for that. So he says in verse 19, I will say to my soul, you have many goods, laid up for many years. He planned on living a long time, laid up for many years. Take your ease, he says, eat, drink, and be merry. So this man is a fool because he lived for what? For time. This man is only thinking about this earth. He's only thinking about time. He's not thinking about eternity. He's not thinking about death. He's not thinking about God. He's thinking about the here and now. He's thinking about pleasure and leisure and eating and drinking and being merry. He's trying to live it up. And that's his counsel to himself. Enjoy life. Eat, drink, and be merry. And so we can see why this man was a fool. He left out God. He didn't give thanks to God. He gave no offering to God. He didn't acknowledge God in any kind of way. He didn't give away any of his money to charity. He didn't even see about his own family. He didn't help others. All he did was care about himself. He wanted more. He was materialistic. He was covetous and he was greedy. He was only earthly minded. He had planned for old age. He had planned for retirement. But you know what? Things happen. What? Even after retirement, if you make it to retirement. And so this man was a fool also because his counsel was from himself. He didn't seek counsel from God or even from others. So he has this great retirement plan, but he had no plan for death. He had no plan. He wasn't even thinking about death or the here and after. It was time. He was only concerned about time, not knowing everything he had belonged to God. And so he says in verse 19, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now the next verse says, but. And wherever that but comes, you know there's going to be a change. But God, you know, and see, that's the thing. People can plan. We can plan. But ultimately, but God. And God's going to step into everyone's life, saved. And thank God we're walking with the Lord. And sinner, God steps in. And so verse 20, but God said to him, so that lets us know God has the last word. You can say, I will. But ain't nothing going to happen unless God says, yes, you will. And so verse 20, but God, see that the man said, I'll do this and I'll do that. But God said to the man, fool, God called him a fool. This night, your soul will be required of you. Now, let's start right there. This man assumed, this is why he's a fool too. He assumed he had a whole lot of time. He was deceived. The man was deceived. He thought he's going to live a long life. He didn't know. He thought he had many years. What's the contrast? The contrast to many years, that's in verse 19. The contrast is in verse 20, this night. The man thought he had many years, but he only had a few hours. Even if it was in the morning time when he was talking, he only had a few hours. None of us know where death is, and so we have to be prepared. And if we're in Jesus, we are prepared, and we're walking with the Lord. But this man, as a fool, had no thought, thinking he's going to live a long life. And you'd be surprised how many people think they're going to live a long time. There are no guarantees. And so verse 20, but God said, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. The soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So this man, he had an appointment with death. He didn't even know he had an appointment with death, but his appointment with death was that night. And God says, your soul will be required. So that says we're going to have to give an account to God. All of us will have to give an account to God for the things he's given us. You know, everything we have, it belongs to God. Everything we have, the houses, the apartments, the cars, the clothes, the breath, the eyesight, the glass, the clocks, everything belongs to God. And ultimately, when he calls us back to himself, we must give an account of what we did with what he gave us. And that you used to hear this word more in church is stewardship. He has lent us these things so that we can handle them and manage them. And then we'll be called home to judgment and give an account of how we handle our things, which are really his things. And so verse 20 says, this night, your soul will be required of you. And then he had a question for the man. Then tell me, whose will these things be which you have provided? And so that lets us know the man was a fool because death came and he was going to have to leave everything that he had acquired. Let's go to one scripture. There are many more we could go to, but time is moving. But let's go to James, the book of James, chapter 4. James 4, a very common scripture. The book of James, chapter 4. I'm trying to get there. In our time, we have 1 minute. So let me get there quick. James chapter 4, help me, Lord, to get there quickly. I'm trying to get there. James chapter 4, you have heard this passage. James chapter 4, and then I'm going to go into prayer. James chapter 4, verse 13, come now, James 4, 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this day. And we are glad to say everything I have it because of you. And so, Lord, I thank you for the things that you have blessed me with. We thank you for the things that we have blessed you with, you have blessed us with. Help us to manage it in a manner that honors you. And then help us not to be covetous, even as Christians. Help us to have an attitude of thanksgiving and thankfulness and just contentment instead of always wanting more. Be with us this week and keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for class.
Amen.
Amen.
She saved a lot.
We finished on time.
She saved
a long time.
Amen.
That man was a fool, but we don't want to do that.
Thank you for the word.
Praise the Lord. Give thanks.
I will.
Give to others.
Have a great day.
Amen. You too.
Bless.
Have a wonderful
yes,
day.
You too, and a beautiful yes. day. I'll see some of you tomorrow night. Amazing. God bless you.
Bless you as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bless you as well, sister.
That lady says a lot of words. That, wow. She says,
yeah. Yeah.
She says words. She says a bowl full, a cup full, a room full of water.
Much needed words.
That's right.
God bless
she
you.
Says a lot.
I'm glad to see
that
you.
Lady done, she doesn't play. She don't waste time.
No, we don't have time to waste.
No.
It's time to get our work done.
And
you
know,
don't know when the Lord's going to call us home. Don't get caught with your work undone.
I know. We'd be in a mess, wouldn't we?
I'll see everyone next week, Lord willing.
All right.
Okay. I wish you could see you.
Have a great week, everybody.
You too. Oh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
God bless you. Get your homework done.